Welcome to the EcoSend podcast, stories from marketers, founders, and changemakers leading businesses for a better world. Hi there, welcome to another episode of the EcoSend podcast. It's great to be back with another show. We're really right at the end now of series 4, I believe, of the EcoSend podcast. So thrilled to be presenting you one of the last episodes of this series. And I think we've got a good one today. We've got a really good one. I'm speaking with Ryan Laird today. And Ryan is the founder and director of Green Orbit Digital. That is a pioneering sustainability-focused digital marketing consultancy. With a passion for space and digital innovation, Ryan leads efforts to empower businesses in adopting eco-conscious marketing strategies for a greener future. Now, this is what Ryan's up to, and I believe today's episode may venture on the topic of space. So I'm very excited about this. Ryan, welcome to the show. How are you doing today?
Hi there. Yeah, good. Thank you.
Awesome. Really, really looking forward to chatting with you on many, many great topics today. So, Ryan, maybe in your own words, tell us a bit about yourself. What are you up to? What are you doing?
So I've always, since knee high of a grasshopper, interested in space. So from the early days of venturing out in my backyard telescope, looking at the stars and just fascinated there. And I've always, I guess, been curious about nature and the environment, just, relating to that. So I pursued a degree in physics. And so I'm very perhaps geeky in that sense of, going down the route there. But I've always had this passion as well to communicate about space and science. But that's kind of eventually led me in towards science communication and marketing, and right. So much of what I'm sure I'll talk to you about today.
I see. Right. That sounds great. So I guess I'm very curious. So I think a lot of us as children were fascinated by the stars and the planets and the sky and what's out there. So how did you end up both being interested in that, but also the climate piece as well and sustainability? Because I guess they're not necessarily two things that people often think about in the same sentence, perhaps.
Maybe not. But when I was young, I remember a star night at our local nature reserve. And I would often go there, of course, just as the sun would set and you see nature, everything sort of quiet, and then there's sort of nature reserves, and of course made for a perfect area for stargazing. So, and that's really where it all began for me. And I guess sort of as I've kind of gone through and my studies into science, I've learned more about our impact on the environment and. Of course, space and in particular space data plays a huge role in that, in informing us about all of the changes to our planet.
Sure. I see. Yeah. So actually thinking about it, there's actually quite a lot of ways that space and what's going up there in the sky relates to what's happening down here on the ground.
Exactly.
Sure. Yeah. Okay. I see. So, you've got a sort of a certificate in some sort of green digital skills thing. That would be, I'm intrigued to know more about this. I know you mentioned it.
Sure.
Before.
Sure. So, I mean, my career sort of took me on perhaps a strange sort of path from academia into science communication and then into marketing. So there's been a huge sort of rise in the number of private ventures in the space industry. So I've gone the route of B2B marketing. And then last year, in fact, I actually enrolled in the INCO Academy's Green Digital Skills Certificate. And I never really considered the impact of our digital footprint really on by sending emails or by hosting websites, the sheer amount of data there. And it and all of this kind of got me thinking about sustainability more broadly, in the context as well of the space industry and a variety of sort of digital technologies we use and the Earth's observation data that we gather. So that was really
Well, it's such a there's a big Venn diagram of lots of overlapping interests here that all are worth diving into. I wasn't even thinking about sort of, I guess, from satellite data, the sheer amounts of information that must be collected there and the consequences of that. Yeah. I know that something you wanted to talk about was this sort of concept. Well, and to be honest, actually, it's the first time I've heard of it. Space sustainability. So, Ryan, what is this? What tell us all?
Well, it's to be honest, it means different things to different people, even perhaps in the same industry. So, so I've been looking at this as I've been building up my marketing consultancy, and really space sustainability, namely, people think of is. Like space debris and the issues surrounding that. So we've in the last sort of 5 years or so, we've been seeing such a surge in the number of satellites being launched. And there's an orbit we call low Earth orbit, where it's where a lot of these services that operate from, like that are perhaps informing us as well of aspects into climate change or telecommunication or different services there. But there is a growing problem. So the industry is looking at this through different what we call inner orbit services to perhaps refuel satellites because some were never designed to kind of necessarily come back down at the end of their life. But now there's real mechanisms now that are being put in place to try and sort of always plan for that eventual sort of end of life of missions or even repairing the satellites while they're in orbit. And so to prolong the life. So so really the space debris issue is a real growing problem. But we're increasingly relying, of course, on satellites for our daily services. I mean, even like banks and they're using this with timing and navigation. So it's so that's really what most people would consider space sustainability. But then there's the whole other side of things, which it's almost a two-pronged approach that I see, two sides of the same coin, really. And that's perhaps more the traditional sort of environmental monitoring, which is all of the space-based data itself. So, we tend to separate this into upstream and downstream. So, upstream is the build and the satellites and all of the hardware, and then downstream is all of the data and the services that you get from that. What we've had is. For a long time, of course, we've been monitoring the planet through all of this different space data. So, and sustainability and sustainable development goals really strongly tie into all of that. But then this term space sustainability, it is arguably being used more to describe in orbit, really. I like to try and see it as a big picture of it being all interlinked. So looking at the entire lifespan of, say, a satellite from the build and launch all the way through to being in orbit and the end of life and what all that means for the planet and for our impact. So
Yeah, this is, I mean, there's a lot to unpack here, I have to admit, because this is not a world I am used to talking about, Ryan. So, I mean, I think I vaguely heard something about this before, but there's sort of this issue with the orbit, the orbit debris, and so we're launching satellites up into the sky, and then they are orbiting around, but if they get damaged or if there are any breakages, anything up there, it just stays up there. Is that the issue? And it's always going round. And
I mean, technically, it depends on where it is in the orbit, etc. But yes, so so what happens? You can think of it a bit like a domino effect. So you have satellites up there, and you know, even if say. I mean, not to say it's a common occurrence, but things do happen where there's, say there's like a screw loose or some kind of small fragment or whatever happens. Yeah. I mean, they build satellites very sturdily, but still maybe the odd thing sort of happens. But these small objects are traveling, some of them faster than bullets. So it's really...
Right.
And every day, the International Space Station is having to do like maneuvers to kind of dodge these effectively.
Because
there's so many different like models of sort of trying to monitor all of this. But there are limitations, of course, and always with... Yeah, with the technology we have, although we're getting better at monitoring it, it's still an issue which we need to to resolve. So that's a huge area now that the industry's talking about, because it's kind of become a victim of its own success in many ways in that regard. But the way I like to sort of see things is as a bigger picture. So. All of this, I mean, there are huge benefits, of course, that space data provide by monitoring our planet. But we also should do that all responsibly. So that is a challenge. You know, we're still basically launching off on the top of bombs, effectively. I mean, the technology is there. Is still. What they were doing in the 60s, you know, except now we've got ways of reusing rockets and landing rockets. You never would have thought in those days to land rockets, but it's kind of a no-brainer in the world of like, well, why would you spend, you know, millions building a rocket and for it not to come back and reuse it? But this is part of...
It's a very expensive firework,
Well, and so there are new sort of technologies, new ways of doing things, and, you know, I guess, you know, as time goes on, we'll probably look back and think, why on earth we were doing things like that? You know, it's so much waste. We're still, like, there's still launches that do... have all the various stages that do sort of fall off into the ocean, and you know, so much is collected, but a lot of things aren't. So it's and these are the impacts there. So it's trying to think now more broadly, I think, in terms of space sustainability, what that means for the sector, and it's like everyone has to think about their impact increasingly. So
absolutely, I can't stop thinking about the debris up there flying around at the speed of bullets. I feel like people would litter a lot less if our litter flew around at that speed on the ground. My goodness. I guess, I mean, gosh, there's so many further areas to explore here. I mean, one, I guess, before we go into more of the space data and how that can impact climate, which I do want to dig into more, the litter up in space, is there anything we can do about that? Like, it, now that we are making this making this problem for ourselves, I guess, in some ways. Like, is there anything we can do other than just dodge it?
It is a challenge. There's a lot of it now up there, and we've been launching ever since Sputnik in 1957. But now we're say in the last sort of 5-10 years, it's been unprecedented, the number of launches.
Yeah.
But no, there are companies out there who are like proposing solutions and testing. I mean, there's a lot that's been tested in demo, and certain services have been rolled out to do this, but there's a whole legal issue as well. It's kind of, if you think of like maritime law, it's kind of space. We're sort of looking at how do we resolve issues, like, so, because I mean, you have your domestic waste, right? And sure. I live in a flat, and there's other people here. I put all that, say, into our communal rubbish area.
Yeah.
You won't know who's, and then obviously someone collects that, like the council collects that, takes that to the local recycling and sorts it, but you don't know whose stuff that is.
Yeah.
And what we're basically doing is, in some cases you can model and see where things, where some bits of debris have come from, but it's very hard. No, there's been some instances where they've traced that, but but this is a whole legal issue, like who's responsible. And I mean, there are like all the framework, all the treaties that we had from the Apollo eras, like the Outer Space Treaties, they were all involving like governments and like basically member states of the United Nations, and not really considering all of like the private companies that are now coming that are launching satellites that are going venturing further to the moon, and that's a whole other area as well that could raise some legal issues. So it's a bit of the Wild West. We're sort of navigating this. I mean, there's this whole debate, of course, with artificial intelligence. It's kind of similar in that way, where there's not really a legal precedent. So we're all kind of like the industry's moving forward, but it's like, on the one hand, there's guidance there, but people can go always launch somewhere else, some places may not be as competitive, and it's all.
Sure.
There's a lot of legal issues, but ultimately, the technologies that are being proposed. I mean, there's ways to kind of refuel satellites to kind of extend their life, or there's maybe some ways of kind of getting hold and gripping satellites and different manners. I mean, even nets have been proposed and all manners of things. Yeah, but. But a lot of that has been untested, but there's theories, there's demos, and it's still a new area. Like there've been some mixed successes, but it's challenging. So
there are no perfect answers here. I'm not gonna hold you to giving them all to me, Brian.
No.
We could talk all day about the debris problem in itself, but I feel like maybe something that is perhaps on the more optimistic or uplifting side, that there's tremendous benefits though from what we are doing with our satellites and with the amount of data we can capture from them. So maybe it'd be great to hear more about this, Ryan, because it's honestly I know there's a few areas where we've benefited from some satellite technology to understand, for instance, where programs where trees are being planted and things like that, where you can understand the location, the impact of deforestation, and I've seen some benefits like that, but I guess there's so much more in terms of how we understand the world.
I mean, how long do you have?
If you can sum it all up in about 3 minutes.
Well, yes, so there are various applications of space data. So, I mean, one of the examples are probably better focusing on is we have the Copernicus program, which centers on Earth observation. There's various services such as atmosphere monitoring, climate change monitoring. There's land monitoring, so that's where the forests would come in, and marine service. So there's so much there that there's all these different services as part of that particular program. And that goes into it's their own different domains. Like, you know, you've got, so taking the example of forests there, I mean, for instance, the logging in Brazil, and the way that, say, like in the Amazon rainforest, people are legally cutting down trees. You're able now to capture and see all of that from space. And in fact, I believe there have been people that have been prosecuted in this way,
really?
As well, to gaining this kind of evidence. So you see the changes from the time series of the satellites. So you different passing, and we're seeing. I mean, with a lot of conflicts, of course, sadly at the moment, is we're seeing the dramatic changes there as well, and all of the major kind of events like forest fires. We've had a record number of forest fires recent years, and all of that we're able to monitor and really providing that information to hopefully send the right aid in the right place and know exactly where to go. So there are immense benefits across like the entire planet and in different ways there. So
that's fascinating to hear. I'm curious with the satellite data, how are there various factors in terms of like whether you have coverage across the whole world and also how quickly you can access that information? Like in my head, I'm thinking, you know, satellite data has some sort of delay, but I never really know how these things factor in. It's like if you look on Google Maps, you'll see land and it might be from last summer or whatever. But like, I guess certain businesses can access data a lot quicker than that. But I'm curious what plays into all of these factors.
Yeah, so there was a time where, I mean, think of even like your mobile phones where you have a brick phone, you'd have satellites the size of buses, or double-decker buses. Now we're able to, because they're much smaller, so we're able to launch more of them, but they're a lot smaller. So even the size of a mobile phone, I mean, they have done demonstrations where obviously they modified bits of the mobile phone to make it sort of space safe, you know, with the environment. But no, there are satellites as big as 10 by 10 by 10 centimeters, we call CubeSats.
Really? That,
are up there. But we tend to rely more now on networks of satellites, which we call constellations.
Okay.
And so they're all kind of interlinked, and because really, yes, that you'd be lucky, say, 30 years ago, if you'd get an image back from a satellite within, say, you know, a day or so. I mean, it would take.
Sure.
Obviously, you say you're relying on one satellite and passing over orbit. It's obviously there's that kind of factor. But now we have, much like we do with GPS, we have satellites out there that are, there's enough of them to kind of capture the information all together, all at once, and network that and share that. And
so
it's, we're really now spoiled in many senses with regards to data. Like it's, and there's a lot of free data as well. So it's not all commercial. So Copernicus, for instance, is the program by the European Union, which now we've negotiated to be part of again. You have, of course, a lot of the commercial ventures. So you've got like Maxar Technologies, Planet, they're two of the big ones which are informing us all the time of the sort of the changes on our planet and yeah, monitoring aspects like climate change as well.
So I had no idea. Yeah, I had no idea how much was going on up there in the sky, and everything just seems to work beautifully. So
yeah.
I'll think twice before complaining about not having my exact location on my iPhone next time.
Sure.
So you were saying as well, then there's another consideration here that's climate related, which is the digital climate. Or the digital carbon footprint sort of side of things, the amount of data that is being generated, I guess, by these satellites.
Yeah, and I mean, I think this hasn't really, as far as I've seen, been explored by the industry, and it's something which I've considered, as I say, as a part of the INCO Green Digital Skills Academy. And just understanding as well, like, of course, EcoSend, I mean, you have an email platform there, and you know, that is more eco-friendly, planting trees and support there. So
yeah,
it's with all of this sort of in mind, I mean, we have terabytes of data like per day that's coming from these satellites. So the Copernicus program, I think it was 16 terabytes per day of data. So it's immense.
And of course, given most people don't have a terabyte of storage on their local computer, if they're lucky, they might have 250 gigabytes, and that's every single day. My goodness.
I mean, and all of that data, of course, is really helping inform us about our planet and mitigating climate change. But it got me thinking about like how all the data is sort of being stored, where it's been stored, and really this side of it where perhaps, you know, we're also contributing to a problem we're also trying to solve. And and this is where it could be a double-edged sword there. I'd be the first to advocate, of course, for informing our planet and all of this, but I'm not an expert on the sorts of servers that they have, etc. It's something I think we all need to be conscious of, is our digital carbon footprint, and in terms of like how much data we're sending across the internet and how that impacts and storing data. Until last year, I wasn't really aware of any of that.
It's a hugely under sort of reported on area of when people talk about climate and carbon footprint. It's so easy to ignore that because you can, all you need is a laptop or all you look at is a screen. You don't see the cloud, nice, soft and harmless cloud that is behind everything, that is actually a giant, probably multi-building data center that requires as much energy as a small city to power. Still to this day, like, most of the people we talk to are quite new to this concept, and I feel like it's only going to grow in people's minds and how aware people are. And when you hear about this quantity of data and the amount of data we all are depending on for pushing things forward. I agree as well, though. It is absolutely thinking about the pros and cons of the services that we have. Like, I guess there's a big debate as well around, and you mentioned earlier, AI, and how there are aspects of AI that could be helping us solve various climate issues, but also there's huge computing resources required for providing the technology to run these models and everything. So it's an extremely interesting time to be trying to figure out the right path forward with all of this technology from a climate perspective, I think.
Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah. Ryan, I'm conscious we don't have much time left, but I did really want to just touch on some of your final thoughts. And I know you had some thoughts on the future. I know you also wanted to share some advice. So maybe I could leave it to you to decide how you want to want to go through some of that, because there's so much more we could talk about.
Well, I guess, in terms of, the future, I don't have a crystal ball, but I know that I know already there's a lot of work in the sector going into what we call a digital twin of the Earth. And so there'll be various kind of types of digital twins, like digital twin of the ocean, digital twin of the atmosphere and land, and all of this really will help us monitor, visualize the our planet, like past, present and future, and utilizing AI, utilizing measurements that we have from satellites. So this is already a big project that's been worked on, so that's what I see would be potentially revolutionary, and to help us kind of understand really the intricacies of our planet and forecasting, understanding, the past, present and future. And
amazing.
And on the advice you wanted.
I think it's really interesting hearing your thoughts on the future there, man. I think a digital twin, I'm not sure if I want a digital twin of myself, but of the planet as a whole, I think that could be very interesting. I'm sure that could enable so much off the back of it. I that's super interesting. I think hearing any advice you've received, Ryan, is always an interesting thing we like to ask our guests on the show, because there's always something people have learned that can be helpful to pass on. And you've got such an interesting mix of all these different areas that are just fascinating. So I'm keen to hear anything you might want to share.
No, I just think really, like, particularly regarding sustainability, it's just to prioritize authenticity really in everything that you do, and being transparent and open, and that applies across sort of business, even relationships, personal growth, staying true to yourself and your values. And I think nothing more to me than the planet, I think, is really key in supporting climate change. Okay.
Absolutely, Ryan. I think that's a really wonderful note to finish on, actually. I think that's I couldn't agree more. Thank you for sharing that. That's, I'm sure a lot of people will be nodding in agreement with that as well. So thank you. I don't want to finish before just saying there are a few great places where people can go to learn more about what you're up to, Ryan, and about Green Orbit Digital, right? So you have a podcast yourself, I believe, which
we're launching soon. So we have a website, so that's sustainablespacepodcast.com.
Amazing.
We'll be releasing some episodes soon.
That sounds great. I will be sure to give that a follow on my podcast player of choice. And and I love the name. It sounds great. I think that'll be up the streets of a lot of people listening to this. So that sounds great, Ryan. And of course, if you want to find Green Orbit Digital, there's the website greenorbit.space. And I did not know .space was a TLD. So that's great. I've learned another thing today as well. thank you. We'll have all those links in the show notes. So if anyone wants to check any of those out and learn more about sustainability, space, Ryan, digital marketing, all sorts, then head there. Okay. Ryan, thank you so much
for joining
me on the show today. It's been an absolute pleasure, and I'm fascinated. I'm not going to look up at the sky and think the same things ever again. So thank you, Ryan. And,
thank you.
Thank you, everybody, for listening and tuning in. I really hope you have enjoyed today's show. as much as I have enjoyed talking to Ryan. So thank you for listening. If you've enjoyed it, please let us know. Please, of course, tell your friends about it. And we will catch you next time. Thanks.